too.
Well, it worked out. I'll be a bit more cautious from here on. I have to ask, was diving out the window with the goblin planned? Albert asked as they looted the corpses.
No. One of my daggers got snagged as he fell out the window.
At that point, it was let go of my dagger or ride him down. I didn't want to lose one of my weapons, so I did what I had to do. Bob snickered.
So you like to ride, but not goblins out of windows?
Karen's lips twisted.
Ick.
Goblin riding is vile. Take it from me, I just experienced it.
Now if Albert here wants a ride, I might be able to spare some time.
As she said it, she twirled her daggers around her fingers before sheathing them. Shaking his head, Albert replied with a smirk of his own. I've seen what happens to those you ride. With that in mind, I'm going to have to pass.
Aw, is the poor demon lover afraid of little me?
Bob cackled.
Oh, yes, I like this one much more than the last one.
Sighing, Albert turned to Tiny, who was at full health.
You did well, Tiny. What do you think? Should we just walk down the street?
I will follow where you lead, Master,
was Tiny's reply, but his eyes seemed to blaze with eagerness.
I could scout the village real fast and see what we have nearby,
Karen said as she activated her stealth and shimmered away.
Or you can be the bait again.
I don't mind, and I might even nibble you myself eventually.
You are feisty as hell, you know that?
Albert said as he motioned her on. Go find the prey. We'll wait here for you.
Bob snickered.
I think she's winning.
A soft chuckle came to Albert's ears as Karen moved off.
Be right back. Don't go running off on me.
A few seconds later, Albert let out a sigh.
She can't be real. I mean, what kind of woman is that bold and aggressive?
The best kind,
Bob replied. Albert's mouth opened and a finger came up, but he paused, considered, then dropped the hand and closed his mouth for a moment.
Okay, point. If things were different, I would totally see how much of that is an act.
Something stopping you from finding out while you are here?
Bob asked, a little puzzled.
My other life is very complicated. No relationship will work for me there.
What does that have to do with this world?
Albert considered the question seriously for a time.
I don't know, actually. I hadn't considered maybe just trying a relationship that only existed here.
Moot point, I'm going to say, though. I doubt Karen is really interested.
I would go so far as to speculate that she's as ballsy as she is, as a front to keep guys off kilter enough that they don't try anything.
Oh, you think so?
The words were breathed like soft silk in his ear, as a hand gently rubbed his back. Instinct took over. Albert took a step forward, pivoting as his hand lashed out, catching her wrist. He yanked her off balance as he completed his spin towards her, his other arm coming up to wrap around her. He was a little surprised as he was starting to apply the hold when she dropped and shifted her weight, applying pressure against his thumb to free her arm. Neither of them was entirely successful. As she dropped her weight to break the hold, Albert dropped his weight down on top of her, so even though her arm came free, he ended up on top of her with his weight pinning her down. They both froze for a second, Karen visible now as combat had broken her stealth.
Sorry about that. It was instinct,
Albert said, going a touch pink as he delicately eased himself up and off of her.
I can honestly say I wasn't expecting you to do that, Karen said, staying on the ground for a second as he took a step away. I was just trying to play with you, and all of a sudden you're going for a hold on me.
I'm impressed.
She did a kip-up to her feet, her customary smirk back in place.
Where did you train?
I used to be affiliated with law enforcement. I also took classes in various dojos in the closest city to the small town I lived in.
What about you?
That was a very good break. Well, up until I dropped on you.
I really didn't expect that. As for my training, I teach in the dojo closest to my house.
It's a mix of a few different schools, so I have an eclectic mix of skills.
So, what all did you overhear before we had a sudden sparring match?
That you had never considered just a VR relationship.
You weren't sure if I was serious in my offer to play with you later,
and you think I used a facade to keep the boys away.
She turned to face him, looking him up and down.
I will say you are a bit rough around the edges. I see you didn't go for the Hollywood glamour like the pretty boys do, which is in your favor, as I like rugged men. While I'm not looking for any relationship, I would not turn down a tumble or two with you. Also, this is how I always am, in-game and out. And yes, it does scare away the timid, which helps cut down on a lot of bullshit. The others I would rather not deal with. Well, let's just say the two men who ever tried to force the issue found out just how well-trained I am.
She stopped and met his eyes challengingly.
So now what do you have to say?
Alberet felt his pulse quicken slightly. Honestly, I'm a little afraid and very intrigued. I wouldn't turn down the opportunity for a role on the mat with you, in any of the ways we could mean that. I would add that the last 5 years or more have been very, very slow in the intimacy area for me. So I would probably disappoint you.
Karen's eyes sparkled. Oh, putting the ball in my court, are you? Currently we are in monster-infested territory, and this is not helping us with why we came here. Let me put a bookmark in this for now, and we can talk about it later. Right?
Closing his eyes, Alberet swallowed and took a few deep breaths to calm his mind and body. When he opened them again, he felt centered and ready to go. As the lady wishes.
And in control of yourself that fast.
You really are pushing my buttons now. But I'm the one who said we should hold on this.
So,
she coughed once. There's another set of mobs just down the street from us. Two with swords, one with a bow. We should be able to take them easily if you let me get into position. Once I'm ready, I'll message you and we can kick this fight off. She dragged out her mind stone. What do you say? Tapping his mind stone to hers, he grinned. Let's go play, Minx. A full-throated laugh came from her as she stealthed.
Ha! It's on now.
Alberet watched the shimmer that was Karen go gliding away down the street. He lost her a few buildings away and looked at his mini-map, noting her enter a building 6 down from where he stood. 6 buildings down on the right, Alberet said as he waited for her signal. I'm ready, Tiny rumbled.
More ready than Master is for the assassin, anyway, Bob snickered.
Rolling his eyes as he shook his head, Alberet didn't reply to the obvious bait. Okay, let's start walking, but don't initiate combat until I say, Tiny, Alberet said as he began to stroll down the street. When they reached the second building, the message icon pop-up appeared. He checked it to find only 2 words. I'm ready. Smiling, he cast Vitality and Retribution on Tiny. You're up, Tiny, Alberet said once he finished casting. With a loud roar, Tiny went running down the street to the indicated house. As they reached the front of it, 2 goblins with swords came out, pausing as they saw Tiny. Tiny didn't give them any time to reconsider and rushed at them. His axe hacked into the one on the right as his shield bashed into the one on the left. Bob, focus the archer if he shows up from a window, Alberet said as he went to the right, waiting for Tiny to land another couple of blows before he could start damaging the mob. As he waited, one of Bob's fire blasts smacked into the mob he was waiting to damage. When the goblin had lost a quarter of his health, Alberet drew them all up and then down sharply, missing the head but solidly connecting with the shoulder. He had been right to wait, as this time he didn't pull aggro from Tiny, allowing him to swing again. This time the goblin stepped back into the building to avoid the hammer, causing Alberet to miss. Oh, they learn. That's going to make this harder. Should I follow him? Tiny asked, bashing his shield into the other goblin again. Nah, he doesn't have much left, Alberet replied. I'll go get him. You and Bob finish off the one out here. Tiny shoved the other one clear of the doorway,
allowing Albert to go into the house. A sword cut into his shoulder from beside the door as he entered the room. Hissing in pain, Albert lashed out with the maul, missing the goblin who lunged backwards to avoid it. Albert took advantage of the goblin's pause and healed himself. He flexed his hand, extending just his pointer and pinky fingers before touching his chest, as he said, "Burning blood." The demonic vitality spell began to heal him as the goblin came forward again, slowly. Albert brought the maul up, ready to attack again.
"If you drop the sword, you might make it out of this alive," Albert said.
The goblin sneered and faked a lunge at Albert. Albert started to swing the maul, shifting his hands on the handle. As he had thought, the goblin had paused in its lunge, and as the maul came down, the goblin came in behind it. The sword creased his side, making him cuss, but Albert had been prepared, and now brought the maul up and across. The goblin was a touch slow backing up this time, catching the maul in the ribs and being tossed back a few feet.
"Oh well, guess we do it the hard way."
Albert sighed in relief as the slow-healing spell helped cut the pain. The goblin seemed very wary as it edged about the room trying to find an angle it liked. Suddenly it yelled in pain and spun around, presenting its back to Albert. Taking the opportunity, he stepped forward and smashed the maul into its head, killing it. As it fell, Albert saw a bloody but grinning Karen standing there.
"It seemed like you could use a hand," she chuckled.
"Well, I won't say no to you lending me a hand, but let me return the favor."
He flexed his hand, making the sign of the horns with his left, as he reached out and tapped her shoulder.
"Burning blood."
Karen frowned and stepped back as the words left his mouth. She opened her mouth in anger, but paused as she became aware of the spell's effect. Suddenly a laugh came from her.
"Oh, a heal over time. I thought you'd put a damage over time on me with that spell. Why the hell does your heal make you say burning blood?"
"We killed it,"
Tiny rumbled as he eclipsed the doorway.
"Good job," Albert called to Tiny before turning back to Karen.
"My first ability was the ability to change the motions and words of my spells. Now I throw the metal horns and say burning blood, instead of the standard way they wanted me to cast the spell. No issues with the archer?"
"No. Assassins get a stun ability that lasts 3 seconds. So if you're good like I am, you can normally take over half the life off a mob before the stun ends. Once it died, I came down and found you playing with this one. I figured I might as well jump in."
"Nice. Let's loot and keep on rolling, shall we?"
Albert asked as he knelt to loot the goblin at his feet. They spent the next 4 hours going from goblin hiding hole to goblin hiding hole, killing each group they found. Karen eventually called a halt.
"My bag is full, and we haven't found the mob I was hoping to find."
"I still got plenty of room if you trust me to hold on to your loot," Albert said. "So we can keep going for a bit longer if you want. No need to rack up more cost to come back out here just to empty your bag."
Karen eyed him, her lips pursed in speculation.
"What will it cost me to use you as a pack mule? And just how much room do you have left?"
Albert scratched his head, pursing his own lips in imitation of her.
I've got room enough for easily as much again as we've already looted.
As for the cost, how about a rain check on a real sparring match one day soon? I'm really curious to see what you can do."
Eyes glittering with laughter, Karen nodded. "Oh, you poor soul. I accept the terms and I apologize in advance for your bruises, both physical and emotional, after I've whooped you good."
Laughing, Albert shook his head.
"I won't go down easy."
With a wink, Karen vanished.
"But I might, if you can beat me."
Bob began to laugh hard.
"Yes, yes, yes, I like her."
Shaking his head with a grin, Albert held up his hands.
"I yield this round, Karen."
Bob kept snickering as they went off to the next group. After another 2 hours, Albert's bag was nearly full, so he called a halt.
"I only have a few spots left, and I do need to grab some food. The debuffs are going to hit me soon. Shall we call it for now and head back to Stormguard? We should have a decent profit with all the loot."
"We can do that.
I just wish the damned messenger had spawned for us, Karen said as she pulled her homestone out.
What messenger?
There's a goblin messenger that patrols into this village from further east, where the goblins have their towns. He drops a scroll that starts a quest chain that will eventually spawn a rare mob. That rare has the chance to drop a few items I'm interested in. Sadly, it wasn't meant to be today.
Karen finished with a shrug. I'm game for coming back after we sell off and grab a bite if you are, Albert replied.
Karen considered it, then shrugged. Fuck it. I don't have a class tomorrow. Okay, let's go sell. Then I'll jump out to go grab some food before we head back here. That work for you?
Albert pulled his homestone out. Works. I also happen to know a weapon vendor who will be happy to buy from us. Do you know where the dead man inn is?
Karen shook her head. I'll find you once we're both in Stormguard. Just head to the weapon vendor and wait for me there.
Agreed, Albert said, before turning to Bob and Tiny. Okay, boys, break time. I'll call you as soon as we get out of Stormguard.
Both demons said goodbye before vanishing into puffs of smoke. By the time they were gone, Karen was gone as well. When he appeared in the graveyard, he started walking to Grimgar's right away. He pulled out his map, looking it over to find the blue dot with Karen's name above it across the city from him. She appeared to be coming his way. He made it to Grimgar's, glad that this time he didn't feel like he was being watched. The bell jangled, announcing his arrival, which brought Grimgar out from the back.
Back so soon, lad?
Got a lot of stuff to sell, Grimgar. Also, which shop would you recommend for selling armor to?
Depends on the stuff to sell. Leather you could use, tanned hides just down the street from me. The elven lass there will give you a decent deal if you use me name. If you got chain, then strong links a few doors down from tanned hides would be the way to go. Why don't you show me the wares you have for sale?
Awaiting for my erstwhile compatriot to get here. Some of what I'm carrying belongs to her, and I would rather make sure she doesn't think I'm scanning her. Grimgar chuckled.
Aye. A lass in a bad mood can be a right handful, and nay in the good way, eh?
Alberic shook his head and checked his map, noting that Karen was getting closer. She'll be here shortly. When she gets here, you'll understand just how right your words are.
A few minutes later, Karen walked into the shop, looking from Alberic to Grimgar. Grimgar started to chuckle.
What's so funny?
Karen asked, raising a single eyebrow.
I called you a handful a few minutes ago, and now that I see you, I think I may have overestimated.
Grimgar laughed again. Karen smiled politely as she crossed the floor to the counter.
Oh, you think so? How about you come around here and find out just how much of a handful I can be?
She batted her lashes at him.
If you can pin me down, I'll take half as much as I should on what I am selling. If I can stay unpinned for 2 minutes, you give me 25% more.
Grimgar chuckled, looking at the slim slip of a woman before him, then over to Alberic, who was very carefully keeping his face blank.
I smell a trap here. Sure as gas in a mine means death. How about I apologize for me words and we get down to business? I apologize for me comments about you, miss.
A throaty laugh came from Karen.
Perceptive, aren't you? Too bad you backed out. I could have used the extra coin. You good, Alberic?
Alberic stepped over to the counter and opened up his pack and satchel, pulling out the weapons and laying them down.
Sure am.
The two of them dropped all the weapons they'd picked up on the counter to Grimgar's approving whistle.
Now that be a sight to behold, Grimgar said as he began to sort through the loot.
It took him some time before he finally nodded.
Ah, that be a pretty penny. I'll give you each 5 gold for the lot of it.
Karen looked at Alberic with a small shrug to indicate she was fine with it.
We'll take it, Grimgar.
Maybe you have a dagger or two that you would be interested in as a partial trade?
Aye, I might,
Grimgar nodded, turning to Karen, who stopped him with an upraised palm.
Actually, I'm good with what I have for now.
I'll stop back when I need a new blade later, though.
Fair enough,
Grimgar said, as he handed them each 5 gold.
Well then, now I get to cart this lot into the back. I hope ye have a pleasant night.
The pair said their goodbyes as they left the shop, and Alberic pointed down the street. Tanned hides and strong links down that way are who Grimgar suggested we sell the leather and chain to.
Works for me,
Karen said, starting off the way he pointed, letting her hips sway slightly.
This way, right?
Yeah, that sure looks like the way to me,
Alberic said in admiration of the view he had. She looked back over her shoulder at him.
Ladies first, after all.
Karen winked at him.
Of course.
They quickly sold off the rest of their loot to Smooth Skin and Strong Arm, respectively, at the 2 shops. Alberic turned to Karen as they exited the last shop.
So, say meet back up at the Portal Guild in an hour to continue our slaughter of the goblins?
Works for me,
Karen said. An hour means I can grab a bite to eat and take a quick shower as well.
Alberic blinked as the thought of Karen in the shower popped into his head. She smirked at him knowingly as he cleared his throat.
Sounds good.
Oh, more than good. I have a very special shower head that helps massage the muscles. It's so useful after a long day of rolling on the mat. And in other ways as well.
She watched him blush just slightly.
On that note, I'll see you soon, right?
She vanished with an echoing laugh.
Taking a deep breath, Alberic started walking towards the Dead Man Inn to grab some food.
I swear she can't be real,
he muttered to himself as he walked. He reached the inn a short time later to find most of the tables filled. He found an empty seat at the bar and grabbed it. As soon as he sat, the bartender came over asking what he wanted.
Whatever food is ready to eat and a mug of dark ale, please.
He dropped a silver onto the counter. The bartender took it and made it disappear before he stepped away, returning with a full mug along with the change.
Alberic caught his eye before he could depart.
How much to rent a room for the next 28 days?
The bartender eyed him for a moment.
Including a single meal and 2 drinks a day along with a bath once a day, it will cost you 1 gold and 20 silver for the rest of the month.
Alberic placed 2 gold on the bar.
2 meals if I ask for them and 4 drinks?
The bartender snatched the 2 golds.
Done, summoner. I'll have me daughter show you to your room after your meal.
Alberic nodded as he sipped the ale, letting the rich taste fill his mouth. He sighed contentedly at the taste. He had always been fond of good dark ales, which were hard to find in the small town he lived in. He was halfway through his mug when the bartender set a bowl and small loaf of bread before him. Tasting the stew, he found it to be close to beef and barley, which went very well with the ale.
Before he knew it, the bowl was empty, and he was using the last scrap of bread to clean the bowl.
Seems you enjoyed it?
Stacia said from behind him.
Ethan, you ready for me to show you the room?
Alberic nodded, standing up and placing a couple of copper next to the bowl.
I shall follow as you lead,
he said with a small smile.
Stacia turned and walked up the stairs with the step of one who had other things to do. But as soon as she reached the 2nd floor, she slowed, and her hips swayed enticingly as she led him to a room all the way at the end of the hall. She opened the door, stepping inside to light the lamp. Alberic followed her in, but stopped just inside the door. He was pretty sure she was interested, considering this morning and the way she had swayed down the hall.
Very nice, thank you,
Alberic said, keeping his voice pleasant and calm. Stacia turned to face him with a smile on her lips.
You'll be very welcome, sir. Is there anything else I can do for you tonight?
She stressed the words sir and anything else as she spoke, making sure he heard the offer clearly.
Alberic considered for a brief moment, seeing just how much he would be willing to do, but shook his head instead.
Alas, fair Stacia, I have other business that cannot wait.
As I'll be staying here for the rest of the month, I'm sure we will have ample time to get to know each other. A question does occur to me about... He paused, wondering how to politely phrase what he was going to say. Not finding a way to do so, he asked bluntly, "The cost of such service." Stacia giggled, one cheek dimpling.
"Oh, you were trying to find a polite way to ask, eh? Simply put, it depends on the man. I've asked for up to 2 gold before, and gotten it to boot. For yeah, I am thinking it might be best to just ask for what you think I am worth after the deed."
Chuckling, he nodded. "A strategy likely to net you far more than a single asking price up front. I shall have to keep in mind your intelligence and forward thinking." Dropping a deep curtsy that gave Alberet a good view of her womanly charms, she replied to him,
"We live to serve."
Alberet tore his gaze away from her chest. "Well, I need to be going or I shall be late. I hope the rest of your night is as pleasant as you. No idea when I'll be back, but I'm sure I will see you in the morning." He stepped out of the room as he spoke. A slight pout was on Stacia's lips as she stood back up.
"For ya as well, sir."
She made sure the lamp was in the middle of the table and burning before she exited the room and closed the door.
"Maybe I will see you when you return."
"One never knows." He winked at her and quickly walked away. He let out his breath quietly as he did so. 5 years of nothing, and now 2 women who seemed interested in sleeping with him. One admittedly for cash, but hell, prostitution was legal in the small town he lived in. One of the few places in the country it was. He weaved his way through the bar and out the door, catching a glimpse of the bartender eyeing him quizzically. Alberet exited the inn, headed for the Portal Guild at a fast walk to get there on time. Arriving a few minutes before the meeting time, he entered to find Karen lounging on a sofa. She popped to her feet when he came in.
"Was wondering if you were going to stand me up."
"Why do I doubt anyone has ever done that to you?"
"Because you want to get me out of my leathers."
"I don't know any single straight man who wouldn't," Alberet replied as he motioned towards the reception desk, where a different receptionist sat. "Shall we?"
"Now that you're here, yes."
Karen tossed him an invite and started walking to the desk with a sway.
"Ladies first, I believe. Right?"
Chuckling, Alberet agreed. "It is only right and proper. Besides, the view is fantastic." A sensuous laugh came from Karen.
"I knew you would fall for my charms."
The receptionist watched them silently, with a small frown on her face.
"Can I help you?" "Two for the ruined village to the east that is overrun by goblins,"
Karen answered promptly, pulling out coin.
"That will be 1.5 gold each."
The duo handed over their coins and retreated to the lobby to wait.
"She seem a bit standoffish to you?"
Karen asked. "I think she found our banter unsavory. She's probably the uptight kind who thinks sex shouldn't be hinted at in public." Snorting, Karen nodded.
"Oh, that makes sense. So I guess I shouldn't suggest that you slap my ass when we go by her, right?"
Putting on a pensive look, Alberet stroked his chin. "Well, we could test my theory if we did that. However, it might also cause a small loss in rep with the guild. If you're up for it, we should, though. For science, of course."
"For science?"
Karen giggled, then covered her mouth as she turned slightly pink. "Oh, does the badass warrior chick have a giggly side?"
"I'm so going to pound you hard when we spar later for that," she replied.
"Isn't that supposed to be my line?" Just as Karen was about to respond, a cough got their attention.
"Your portal is ready."
This mage was old, with a traditional long flowing white beard.
"If you will follow me."
Alberet stood up with a grin and motioned to Karen. "Ladies first." Shaking her head, Karen fell into step just behind the mage before glancing back at Alberet and giving her rump a wiggle.
"For science."
His face breaking into a large grin, Alberet nodded.
As they passed the desk, Albert reached out and swatted Karen's ass hard. The sound of his hand striking the leather, along with Karen's yelp, brought the mage to a stop, and the receptionist spun around, her eyes wide and her cheeks red.
"Sorry. Thought I saw a spider on her and tried to get it off," Albert said smoothly. "Please, lead on."
Karen looked back at Albert with her eyes smoldering, but she wasn't about to give away the game. As the mage started walking again, Karen glanced back at the receptionist, winking and blowing her a kiss. Albert heard a strangled splutter from the receptionist. As they continued, Karen fell back to walk next to Albert, whispering softly, "I'm so going to make you pay for that. You didn't pull that spank at all. I wasn't expecting it to be that intense."
"I shall pay the fee, and gladly," Albert said calmly, as they approached the door to the portal room. "I can't deny who I am, after all."
"So you like it rough?"
"Your portal! Step into the rune and it will take you to your destination,"
the mage said as he opened the door, cutting off their conversation. Albert bowed.
"Ladies first in all things."
Karen's lips were drawn thin, her eyes gleaming, but she held her tongue and only nodded before she stepped onto the rune. As she vanished, Albert turned to the mage.
"I'm sorry for our behavior. Please extend my apology to the receptionist as well."
He handed over a gold before he, too, stepped onto the rune. The Messenger. As soon as he could make out the ruined barroom, he spotted Karen lounging against a wall. Nodding, he quickly buffed himself with demon skin, then summoned Tiny and Bob and triggered his flame weapon ability.
"Okay, I'm good to go now."
Pushing off the wall, Karen nodded. "Okay, let me go scout real quick." She stepped out of the door into the sunset. Karen was back a few minutes later. "The house you were attacked from the first time has a new set of goblins in it. Only 2 swords and 1 bowman this time."
"Sounds good. Let's get this party started. We'll give you 2 minutes to get set. Then we'll go over and say hi to the neighbors."
Karen stealthed and left the building after agreeing with the plan. 2 minutes later, Albert buffed Tiny and they left the inn, heading for the building Karen had indicated. The fight was over quickly thanks to their experience dealing with the packs of goblins earlier. As the last of the goblins fell, the sun finally sank behind the horizon. It grew dark in minutes. Albert blinked, trying to get his eyes adjusted to the quickly diminishing light level.
"It gets really dark pretty fast, right?"
Karen said from nearby, her form barely discernible.
Maybe we're done for the night?"
Albert half-asked. A soft chuckle came from Karen.
"Just wait for it."
A few seconds later, the gold moon rose, bringing a soft golden light to the ruins.
"There it is. Nightlight."
"Don't tell me the moon is actually called Nightlight," Albert said incredulously.
"It is, according to the books in-game,"
Karen said, then waited, looking at the sky.
"Besides, it does what the name says. Consider how dark it was a moment ago."
"Okay, point. However, they really could have done a better job of naming it."
He gazed at the golden moon, noting the craters that marked its surface.
"Oh, by the way,"
Karen said softly from behind him,
"vengeance is mine."
Her hand smacked into his ass hard, causing him to let out a small yelp and turn to face her. Tiny roared and brought his axe up, turning to face Karen. Bob looked on, laughing but otherwise doing nothing. Albert held up a hand.
"Hold, Tiny! She was owed that one from when we were in the city, so stand down.
She is not an enemy."
"But she attacked you, master,"
Tiny bellowed, his eyes glowing in the dim light as his hand flexed on the axe haft.
"As he said, it was payback for the spanking he gave me earlier."
"Fee paid, as agreed,"
Albert replied before turning to Bob.
"That's enough, Bob."
"Fine,"
Bob said, still chortling slightly.
Tiny lowered his axe, still visibly angry as he turned to Albert.
We going to kill more?
As soon as Karen decides she's ready, Albert said, looking around only to find Karen gone. He checked the map and saw her down the street entering a building. A moment later, his message icon lit up, telling him she was ready.
Seems she already found our next target. Let's go.
He rebuffed Tiny as they set out for the next set of goblins. The next 4 hours was a repeat of earlier in the day, with them moving from ruined house to ruined house, killing all they found. Eventually, Karen called it a day.
Okay, I think I'm done for now. We both leveled during this run, so that's good enough for now. You need to be careful with that new spell, though. It hurts friendlies, excluding your minions who seem immune to it.
Yeah, sorry about that. And we never found the messenger either,
Albert said, as he stepped to the doorway to loot the goblin there. As he did so, he noticed a lone goblin moving down the street towards them. Focusing on it, he checked the name and level of the goblin. Goblin Messenger, level 15.
Karen,
you might want to stealth.
Karen faded from view and came over to look out the door. She whispered, clearly excited to see the goblin.
That's the one we need.
Okay, Tiny will engage him, then we all pile in,
Albert said softly, looking back at Tiny.
Let him get a touch closer first, Tiny.
He eased into the house and buffed Tiny again with retribution, haze, and vitality.
You're good to go.
Tiny nodded, waiting another few seconds before he went sprinting out of the house with a roar. The goblin messenger looked up to see Tiny barreling down on it, barely in time to throw itself away from the attack. Albert and Bob came out of the ruined house just as Tiny missed. Albert went to close the distance as Bob began his barrage of fire blasts. The goblin came to his feet with twin short swords and a red glow surrounding it as it attacked Tiny. Albert got there a moment later, but held his attack as he waited for Tiny to gain more aggro. Tiny was being pressed pretty hard from the barrage of attacks the goblin was launching at him. Once its life dipped a bit more, Karen appeared, her blade sinking into its back.
It will try to run at a quarter life, Karen said as she attacked again.
Okay,
Albert replied, as he finally swung the maul, hitting the goblin in the side. As Karen had said, at 25% life, the goblin turned to run, only to find itself cut off, then cut down in short order. Albert chuckled.
That's a good way to end the night.
Karen looted the goblin, holding up a scroll and a messenger bag.
These are the quest items. Are you going to be on tomorrow?
Yes, Albert said, wondering why he hadn't gotten the quest as well.
Okay. Meet at the Stormguard Fort tomorrow, say about 10 in the morning. I'll start the quest line then. If anyone else you know is on then, invite them as well.
The boss this thing spawns is level 20, so we could use some more help, Karen said as she put the scroll and bag into her pack.
Whistling softly, Albert nodded. That is going to be fun.
Not really, but the rewards are normally worth it.
Thanks again for the fun day and night. I would see about doubling down on the fun, but I do need some sleep.
Karen stretched her body before coming over to stand a foot in front of Albert, looking up at him.
Maybe tomorrow, after we kill the boss, we can have some extra fun?
Sounds like a good time to me,
Albert said with a chuckle, resisting the urge to pat her head.
Good.
Karen leapt up, wrapping her legs around his waist and planting a deep kiss on him. After a minute, she broke the kiss, her eyes smoldering.
Just a hint of things that might possibly come.
She vanished as she logged out. A catcall brought Albert back to reality.
Work it, you stud, you!
Funny, Bob, ha ha ha, Albert said, looking over at the imp. We're done, guys, so go get your rest.
Both demons vanished, Bob beatboxing some old-style porn music, leaving him all alone in the ruined village with the moon starting to descend from its apex. Pulling out his home stone while shaking his head to clear it,
Albert paused to look at the moon one more time. With a small smile on his lips, he invoked the stone and appeared in the graveyard next to the Dead Man Inn.
Home again, jiggity jig," he said softly, as he put the stone away.
Taking a single step away from where he spawned, he suddenly felt a searing pain in his back. He tried to move, but his muscles locked up, and the pain spread through him, radiating from the knife in his back. He wanted to howl in pain, but he couldn't form any sound. He noted two new debuffs on him, poisoned and paralyzed. A hooded man came into his field of view wearing a dark gray and green splotched cloak.
"Well, this will count as one. Only two more kills to go now, two sold. The contract says to let you know that the House of Gildan is quite perturbed with you. However, they decided to take it easy on you for your first offense. Just three deaths at the hands of the Dark Knight's Guild. So keep this in mind. If you upset your betters, they send us after you."
A hand tilted Alberic's head so he could see a masked face with two red-tinted eyes meeting his.
"You will have your reprieve dictated by the gods, but I will be back for you eventually."
Alberic caught sight of the dagger as it slid under his point of view, followed by the pain of his throat being cut, before death claimed him. As soon as his life reached zero, he was a ghost floating above his corpse in a washed-out world, watching as his murderer calmly cleaned his dagger before vanishing with a dark chuckle. Albert wanted to scream and curse at his attacker, but was unable to as a ghost. 2 minutes later, he was standing in the graveyard, alive again.
"Motherfucker,"
Albert hissed, his eyes tracking the darkness around him. When nothing happened, he checked a new buff that appeared, learning something new. "God's Will. You have been killed by an assassin or another player. Due to this, you are immune from non-monster attacks for 1 hour unless you instigate them." Taking a deep breath, Albert felt his knuckles pop as he clenched his hands. Forcing them open, he tried to center himself. Minutes rolled by until he finally got his anger under control. Once he was mostly centered, Albert entered the inn. The taproom was mostly empty, with maybe a half a dozen people about. Stacia looked up from her spot behind the bar, giving him a bright smile.
"Welcome back, sir. Be you interested in a bit of drink or food before you retire?"
Albert looked over at her eager smile.
"Dark ale, please. And maybe just a snack to tide me over until morning. Can you have them sent to my room, please? I want to bathe first."
Stacia nodded.
"One second, please."
She darted into the back briefly, coming back out by what was certainly a sister who took over the bar. Stacia was carrying a small covered plate as she picked up a full mug.
"If any will follow me, sir, I will show you to the bath once I drop off your food and drink."
Albert followed after Stacia, who was all business as she led him upstairs to his room, setting the refreshments down on the table. Albert dropped his bags and gear into the wardrobe, which indicated it was a secure storage place, before following her again. She led him out of the room and down an offshoot hallway near the stairs, which led to the bathing room. She opened the door, ushering him into a massive room that held a giant heated tub, a few smaller empty tubs, and a row of what he thought were shower heads.
"This is the bathing room, sir. The big tub is for after you're clean to relax in. The showers are the first step of bathing."
She paused and looked at him from the corner of her eye.
"You know, it would be easier to just show you, sir, if you'd be interested."
Albert eyed the 20-year-old buxom woman for a moment.
"I have a bad feeling about this," he said softly.
"I be having a very good feeling about this myself,"
Stacia said, her hands on the laces of her dress as she held them without loosening them.
"The decision be up to you."
Albert took a second to try and figure out what he really wanted.
"I am so very tempted to find out exactly how far you would take it, Stacia.
However, I'm beat and I have a long day ahead of me tomorrow. So I think I'm going to have to pass. Stacia pouted her lips.
How about if I promise to behave and just wash you? Take you back to your room to feed you, massage you, and then tuck you in.
Alberic felt his resolve break at the idea of her hands working on his muscles.
I yield.
Stacia's eyes lit up when he agreed.
Hi. First strip all the way down to your skin, please.
Alberic did so, and was guided by Stacia to a stool under a shower head. She sat him down, showing him the pull chain to wet himself down. She went off to get some soap, leaving him to enjoy the warm water falling gently on him, as if he were in a warm thunderstorm. As he enjoyed the feeling, a pair of soft hands gently touched his back, and he tensed slightly before relaxing, reminding himself that he wasn't being attacked. Stacia was humming a tune he didn't know as she used the citrus-scented soap and a cloth to lather him. Albert relaxed under her hands, letting her raise his arms or bend him slightly this way or that to soap him. He stood when he was asked for her to get his ass and legs, before he was told he could sit again. He was in a slight dazed state when he felt her bare breasts rub against his back, her nipples hard as she wrapped her arms around him.
Now be still. I'm only washing you, and that is all.
Her words were a soft caress in his ear, as her hands gently embraced his manhood.
Stacia, Albert breathed out in half reprimand, half desire.
Shh. I be only cleaning you. I promise to be good after all. She whispered again.
Her hands were deft and clinical as she soaped him.
See,
she said, as she withdrew her breast from his back as well.
Time to rinse,
she said, as she stepped around him, showing off her naked body as she gently tugged the chain to bring the water down on them both. Alberic drank in the sight of her naked body before him, the water cascading off of her endowed chest, allowing it to rinse the soap off her body. He sat there mostly motionless, as if in a trance, as she wiped the soap from her, before taking his unresisting hand and pulling it on the chain. He grasped it as she knelt before him and used her hands to make sure all the soap was removed from his body. She did it methodically, robbing some of the sensuality from it, but not all. She got him to stand as she knelt there, which presented his manhood to her eye level, but she seemed to disregard it. He felt a wave of desire urging him to tangle his hands in her hair and take her. His hands trembled and he was about to act on the idea, when she turned him around to clean the soap from his back. Once she was done, she stood and led him over to the big tub, helping him settle into it. He leaned back on a contoured seat, the water coming to just under his chin as the hot water eased his tired body. He let out a sigh of pleasure as the tension ebbed away. He briefly wondered why he felt any tension here inside the game, but the thought went away as he just let the water relax him. Sometime later, a small cough got his attention. Prying his eyes open, he found Stacia dressed again, standing next to the tub holding a towel.
Sir, you might want to think about getting out now.
Climbing to his feet, Alberic stepped out of the tub, reaching out to take the towel, only to have Stacia chide him gently as she began to dry him. Once he was dry to her satisfaction, she wrapped him in a terry cloth robe and led him back to his room. He wondered briefly about his clothes, asking about them only to be told they were in his room already. When they reached his room, Stacia seated him at a chair near the table and seated herself beside him.
Now for me to feed you.
She uncovered the tray which had sliced melon on it. She batted his hand when he reached for a piece.
No.
She picked one up herself and held it out to him.
Say ah.
Alberic chuckled. Really? Stacia arched a single brow at him.
Say ah.
He did so, which resulted in the bite of food being placed gently onto his tongue. He winced slightly as the sweet fruit, reminiscent of honeydew, sent a rush of sugar into his teeth, just as sweet things did to him in real life.
Stacia smirked at him slightly as she presented the next bite. Chuckling, he let her feed him one bite at a time. He discovered that she had changed the dark ale for a fruit tea that complemented the meal wonderfully. As he finished the last bite, she asked him again to say ah. Puzzled by the lack of food in her hands, he still did so, only to have her gently place her finger into his mouth. He gently sucked her fingers clean one by one, watching her expression as he did so. He could feel the desire in both of them, as she reluctantly took her last digit away from him before standing. Taking his hand, she led him to the bed, which was turned down. She deftly undid his robe, slipping it from his body before laying him face down on the bed.
"We end with the massage, sir,"
she whispered into his ear, husky heat filling her words. Albert took a shuddering breath as she began to rub oil onto his skin. He relaxed under her skilled hands as she found the remaining spots of tension, and gently but firmly eased them away. He wasn't sure when the massage ended or when Stacia left. He only vaguely recalled her whispering something to him as darkness claimed him. Albert woke to the scent of fresh coffee, mingling with the scent of the most holy of foods, bacon. Rubbing his eyes, he sat up with a yawn. Blinking his eyes, he looked around and found the source of the scent at the table. At the table was Stacia, who was adding some milk to a cup as she smiled at him.
"Morning, sir. I took the liberty of making preparations for your breakfast. I do be hoping that I was not wrong to do so."
She came to the bed with a cup held out to him. Albert took the offered cup.
"Much more than I was expecting, Stacia."
He took a sip, finding the coffee perfectly the way he liked it. He frowned as he wondered how she could have known how he liked his coffee. He glanced up at her, watching him expectantly.
"It's perfect, Stacia,"
he said slowly, as he pondered how she could have known.
"You frowned when sipping it, though,"
Stacia said, her voice carrying the tone of uncertainty.
"I was wondering how you could possibly know how I like my coffee. I owe you my thanks for the wonderful night last night,"
Albert said, recalling that he'd fallen asleep during the massage. He pushed back the covers.
"Can you hand me my clothes, please?"
Stacia pouted slightly but turned to the chair behind her to grab his clothing, handing it to him.
"As you wish, sir."
Albert traded his cup for the clothes, dressing quickly before sitting at the table. He motioned Stacia to join him.
"Tell me, Stacia, do you always go this far for the guests here?"
"Nah. You'll be different, though, sir. Not only be a two-souled, you'll be a kind one to boot. None of the others that have come here took the time to talk to us like regular folk. They come running in and out to speak with Stuart or one of the others. You, though, took room with us, partook and enjoyed the food, acted like any of us normal folk would. You caught me attention something fierce by doing that."
Uncovering the plate, Albert found cheesy eggs, bacon, and a chunk of bread. Sipping at the coffee, he considered her words as she poured herself a cup of coffee. He took a bite of the food, closing his eyes briefly in appreciation at the meal.
"I understand now why you seemed so eager to offer so much attention. I'm just a normal guy, though, Stacia. Nothing to get worked up over. It might be best if you tried to set aside however you currently view me, as I'm sure I will only disappoint you."
Stacia looked down at her lap as she sipped her coffee.
"I understand, sir. I'd be sorry if me attention has been bothersome. I'll go and leave you alone now."
She rose, putting her half-empty cup on the table before curtsying to him. Albert caught a glimpse of her upset face as she stood up from her curtsy. He felt his weakness for females in distress kick in as she went to walk past him. He gently snagged her hand, causing her to stop.
"It isn't a bother, Stacia. I just know that you will only be disappointed in time. I have been more than happy with everything you've done to this point. Please do not think I dislike you in any way."
She met his honest eyes with her slightly damp eyes.
I wasn't sure. I mean, you seemed to respond to me some last night, but you didn't act on it at all. Will it be okay if I continue to serve you as I already have?
I would be happy to have you do so, Stacia. I don't know if I will ever ask for more than you have already given me, though. So please, keep that in mind.
Stacia gracefully lowered herself to her knees next to his chair, covering his hand with hers as she looked up at him through lowered lashes.
I understand, sir. Just as long as you know that I am more than willing for more.
She took his hand, gently kissing the palm of it, before placing it on her chest where he could feel her heart racing. He felt himself stir at the sight of her kneeling beside him, as well as her words and where she had his hand currently. He swallowed hard, his mouth suddenly dry.
Stacia.
She met his eyes through her lashes, the same hunger he felt mirrored in hers.
I'd be willing to do anything you be wanting, sir. No matter how unusual your request might be, I will gladly fulfill all your needs.
He felt his resolve start to crumble. The eagerness she expressed along with all the teasing he had endured yesterday was taking its toll.
I'm 10 years your senior, he stammered, trying one last time to forestall what was coming.
She cut him off as she eased his hand down to one of her breasts.
Mayhap you can teach me then, sir. I warn you, I be needing a firm hand to guide me.
Her eyes went from eager to sultry as she felt him squeeze her eager flesh. A soft moan escaped her lips as his thumb brushed her erect nipple.
A very firm hand.
Dropping the fork, he succumbed to her desires as he reached down and tangled a hand in her hair.
Well then, let me teach you, you eager little wench.
He felt his darker nature start to come out to play as he spoke. He was covered in sweat and panting by the time they finally stopped. He glanced at the top of her head resting on his chest.
Well, that wasn't how I thought today was going to start. But I can't think of a better way it could have,
Alberic said, kissing the top of her head. She gently touched some bruises from the intense spanking she had gotten that were healing up as he watched.
We live to serve, sir,
Stacia murmured contentedly as she nuzzled his neck.
I hesitate to suggest this, sir, but you could bargain with me, Da, to make me a full-time maid while you stay here. It would mean I would be at your beck and call only, ready to help serve you in any way you wanted at any time.
She stroked his chest hair gently. Alberic's mind carried her words into the gutter of his mind, and he felt his groin stir slightly at the thoughts. He coughed as he forced his mind out of that track.
A good suggestion, Stacia. However, I don't know how often I will be back here during the time I've rented the room, and I would hate to hurt how smoothly the place runs by having you all to myself.
Stacia slid her body over the top of his sensuously, pausing to kiss him deeply before she got out of bed.
It would nae hurt anything except me feelings, if in your donny ask.
She got a basin of water and a cloth from the sideboard, then came back to the bed.
Now, let me clean us both up so you can go do the things you said you needed to do today.
Alberic left her as she started to clean the room up. He went down the stairs to find the bartender behind the bar.
Morning, sir.
Alberic approached the bar, wondering how to ask what he had been told to ask.
I have a question about a long-term lodger such as myself, acquiring one of the employees as a full-time maid while they stay here.
The bartender eyed him with narrowed eyes for a time.
Which of me daughters put you up to this?
Alberic blinked before replying.
Stacia, she can be quite demanding and forceful when she wants to be.
A snort of muffled laughter came from her father.
You don't be knowing the half of it. If and she asked you to ask, then the price be 10 gold for the month you be staying with us.
frowning slightly at the high price compared to the room. Albert dropped 5 gold onto the bar.
Can I pay the rest tonight? I have to sell some things before I have the rest.
I pay the rest by this time tomorrow and we'll call it a deal.
I have a question, though, if and you be willing to answer it.